Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, where we discuss all things embarrassing and humiliating. We share our stories, we share your stories, and we hope you'll listen and laugh with us. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn beat red. Okay, how was your week?
Hey, it was good. It was really good. Just watching some TV.
What have you been watching?
I have been obsessed with The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I know that it came out a million years ago, but I just love it. I love
it's
Titus Burgess.
Show. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Titus Burgess.
It's so funny.
I wish I could just follow him around.
He's hilarious.
He's so good.
And that's
he's
like a feel-good so funny. Show. That's a good thing to watch to get in a good headspace.
Brilliantly written too. I mean, the jokes in there are so good.
How many seasons are there?
There are four.
I think I stopped at three. I need to go back and watch.
I did too, actually. I'm going to watch them all, but yeah.
Okay, so I've been watching a very terrible show that is also highly entertaining.
The best.
Reality. Sometimes you need some bad reality in your life. But I don't like the new thing Netflix is doing where they show you a show and then you can't binge the whole thing and they're like, oh, the rest comes out in like 2 weeks. So you're left on that cliffhanger.
Yeah.
But it's called The Trust and it's basically a game of like greed and like who's, you know, are they going to work together as a team and keep all the money or are they going to cut people out of the trust?
No. Whoa.
So entertaining. And who's going to go out? Who's going to be for themselves? Who's going to be for the greater good? You're going to see people's true colors come out. Like all those, you know, fascinating human behavior, you know, studies that I just absolutely love as a psych major. I'm drawn to it.
Yes.
It's really entertaining.
I love that one that just does all the wrong stuff where they're like, I'm keeping this. I don't think anyone else deserves it but me because of this.
I'm out for number one.
Yes. You're like, you are the villain. Yes. Yeah, I love it.
It's really entertaining. So yeah, I watched that.
Watched shows this week.
We watched some shows and let's talk about some stories.
Let's do it. Do you want to go first?
I think you go first this time, right?
Okay. So I'm going to go first. Okay. I am going to tell this story that made me laugh so much. I hope it makes you laugh too.
I'm sure.
Pausing for a second. Okay. This is from Allison in Tampa, Florida. When I was in college, I was in a sorority and we had a Halloween party. It was my first year, but I grew up loving Halloween and I got so excited by the idea of getting dressed up. I racked my brain for what I could be. Something totally unique and memorable. Lightning struck and a brilliant idea shot right through me. I'd go as a California raisin.
The most sexy costume of all.
I died when I heard that. Did you remember those?
Of course.
In the 80s.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
That is so funny.
I'm a child of the 1980s. And back then, Ray Charles did commercials for California Raisins and they were claymation and it was a perfect idea.
Heard it through the grapevine.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. They were claymation masterpieces.
Raisins, just to eat raisins.
Yes, just eat raisins.
Eat more raisins, like the Got Milk campaign. They just get you.
Yeah. And like the little claymation kid would be watching these raisins like as he's eating breakfast. And I always used to want that to happen, like my cereal to come to life. Anyways, this girl decided to do it for Halloween. So she wrote, recreating that classic claymation California raisin from the commercials took me a few weeks. I made my costume by stuffing a bunch of cotton from old pillows into a leathery material that I sewed and sewed to look like a raisin.
Wow.
Wow, right?
Yeah, that's intense.
I got black tights. I bought white gloves. I put purple face paint all over my face and sprayed my hair up like they did. I even found Chuck Taylors like the ones they had.
Wow.
I had kept my costume a secret from my sorority sisters. Sorry.
They're going to be so impressed.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Catwoman's be damned. I'm showing up as a California raisin
in a sorority. Oh, this is not going to be.
What sorority was this? I need to know.
I know. She didn't get into it. So she had kept it from her sorority sisters. So everyone was curious, of course. Naturally, I thought that there'd be competition for the best costume. So I went all in. The big night came and I got ready for my sister's apartment to not give away the surprise. As I approached my sorority, I instantly regretted my costume. I had not gotten the memo that Halloween at my college was code for dress like your clothes fell off. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I looked, there were scantily clad ladies. There were sexy nurses, sexy clowns, sexy fairies, short skirts and halter tops, and a suggestion of a costume is what was happening.
Yep.
One girl went as Eve from the Bible, but her costume was so inappropriate that I prayed she'd not get attacked. Oh my, she was like naked. Just naked Eve. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's Halloween.
Just two leaves.
That's Halloween.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
In the Garden of Eden. I hope I don't meet a snake. Anyways, the only costume even close to giving mine a run for my money was, and I'm not kidding, a sexy Bill Clinton on the arm of a sexy Monica Lewinsky. Sexy Bill Clinton. Weird. What the hell? I was so embarrassed. As soon as people saw me, they got quiet. What was worse was that I kept bumping into things because my costume, a life-size California raisin, kept bumping into things and knocking them over. I grabbed a drink, planning my escape. The night was salvaged by the DJ who, after a few songs, played the California Raisin theme song. I heard it through the grapevine. Oh my God. What do you do?
But did they even know it was her? If she was under all of that, like that crazy costume and the makeup, I think I would just not be myself that night.
You know what?
Opt out.
You just don't cop to it.
Don't
like,
reveal
I didn't
it.
Show up. I was sick that night.
Yeah.
But it was you. Yeah. So she downed a couple of drinks, so I jumped onto the dance floor and went for it, trying my best to dance like one of those raisins in the commercial. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's all embarrassing.
I didn't stay long because, go figure, I wasn't getting chatted up by many people. But to this day, I still go all out for Halloween, and that costume only made me more confident to follow my instincts.
See,
good job, Allison.
I love that. I only went through a very brief hoe phase of the Halloween, but
did
like
you?
Even in college,
what
I was like,
it?
I did carry like blood everywhere. Like I did lots of, I either go creepy or I, you know, I've dressed up as David Bowie from The Labyrinth.
No, your costumes like, are infamous.
Wayne's World. Like, I do a lot of
Dumb
like,
and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber
was my favorite.
Yeah, so I'm not going for the sexy factor either, and I appreciate that. I think the California raisin is gold.
Yes,
and that, I'm sure you put a lot of work into it.
But I mean, have you ever shown up somewhere and you're like, oh, I'm overdressed, or oh, I didn't dress like enough? Or
I'm always overdressed. I stand by it.
You look fantastic 100% of the time.
I stand by it. Okay, yes, that would definitely be embarrassing in college in a sorority and time and place.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I got a story for you. This first story comes from Maddie in LA, and she writes, I was spending the day with my friend and her boyfriend, David, wandering around Abbot Kinney in Venice. Even though they'd been together for about a year, this was my first time meeting David because they live in New York and we're visiting together for the first time. We were drinking and shopping, just catching up, but the vibe was definitely off.
Oh, no.
When David went to the bathroom in a shop and we were alone, she admitted to me that they had been fighting because she kept accidentally calling David her ex's name in bed.
Oh,
Kevin.
In bed.
In bed.
That's not good.
I knew Kevin well as they had dated for 3 years. I was shocked and laughed and asked her why. She said she didn't know. It's not like she wanted Kevin back. The breakup was amicable. It was just a slip of the tongue. I tried to enjoy being the awkward third wheel for about another hour and we parted ways as I had planned with some other friends that night. Yeah, that's it. Says she kept accidentally. So this isn't a one-time thing.
The
like
second
every time
like,
every time they sleep together, she's like, oh, Kevin. And he's like,
what? That would be, it would be like three strikes, you're out for
yeah,
me.
That's grounds for a breakup. That's pretty intense.
That's terrible.
Okay, that's funny. All right. As I'd previously mentioned, I'd been day drinking and that bled into the night as I went to Lula's on Main Street for dinner with a group of eight friends. We were having a great time, and suddenly I looked up, and my friend from earlier was randomly at the same restaurant as us and came over to say hi with her boyfriend, David. I excitedly stood up and loudly introduced everyone, including my friend's boyfriend, as Kevin, her ex's
name. No, that's so bad.
It's so bad.
She doubled down.
My friend practically killed me with her eyes, it was incredibly awkward and hilarious. She and David both looked at me like I was insane, and I immediately realized and sputtered, no, David, not Kevin. Oh my God, I'm so, so sorry. David was noticeably pissed, and I unfortunately caused yet another argument, but he got over it, and they stayed together for about another year after that. She thankfully only stayed mad at me for the night because she saw how bad I felt, and she, of all people, understood slips of the tongue.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, that's...
It's like a taste of her own medicine, but like even worse.
Yeah.
And that's your friend. So and she didn't mean to. Mm-hmm. Like, it just was one of those things that
It was just like a Freudian slip. Like, it was on your brain. Oh, that's so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
Oh, poor David.
Yep.
Okay, well, my next story is I'm going to tell it. And it was happened to me when I was in New York and I was working... Well, I was just out of college, so I was 20 years old. And I worked at a cafe, a dating cafe.
A dating cafe.
So no internet. It's 2001. And there was internet, but it wasn't like, you know, what it is now. Yeah. And there were like not even, the cell phones were kind of around, but not, I don't think there you could text on them or anything. Or if you could, like not many people were yet.
Yeah.
So this was a really unique place where the walls were lined with binders of people that have profiles that had been filled. Yes. And they came into the cafe and...
So you didn't prearrange anything. You just went to the cafe and like chose a person.
You went to the cafe, you chose a person. Then I, as the barista who worked there with no qualifications, called that person, was like, hey, someone chose you. Do you want to come in and look at their profile?
What?
So they take the subway from wherever they're coming from. They come and look at the
you
profile.
You were Bumble. I was Bumble.
Do you know how much pressure that is?
That's so much pressure.
I was just making coffees and they were like, this is you're planning people's destinies. Enjoy.
That is amazing.
You know, for like $12 an hour.
Yeah.
So this cafe was called The Drip Cafe. I'm not kidding.
The Drip.
Which is like a word from the 1950s that means you suck.
That's funny.
Like, he's a drip, Lorraine. You know what I mean? So anyway, I always thought that was funny. Okay, let's just call these people Brittany and Frank.
Okay.
So Frank and Brittany go through that whole process where they've come in, they've looked at each other's profiles, they say, yes, let's meet up. And then we plan the date, their first date at the cafe. That's the thing.
Right, yeah.
So it's like you have to meet up
here. You're a matchmaking service, essentially, but it's like, we'll matchmake you and pay us for food and drinks. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also like kind of a bouncer too, because if it's going poorly, I have to be like, okay, you know, like, let's shut it down. Like, I'd never had to do that, but.
That would be so awkward to be like, this isn't really working out.
Yeah, like,
I'm going to need you to leave.
Stop trying to like touch her hair or whatever. Frank comes in and he says he's there for Brittany. And I'm like, oh, of course you're okay. She's not here yet, but make yourself comfortable. I'll let you know when she gets here. And he goes and sits in the corner of the bar because there's a bar. It was like a bar cafe. Then I got busy. I was making coffees. I was pouring drinks. I was cleaning the countertop. I was like navigating the waters of awkward conversation and trying
and
to
like
get
people
to buy
stuff. And you
had a
bunch of people there.
Yes.
Was it always busy?
No.
People loved it.
But this night was really busy.
Okay.
So I was just like, I don't know, in my own world. And I forgot about Frank. And so Brittany comes in and she's like, hi. And she's gorgeous. I mean, beautiful woman, powerful woman. Comes in there. She's like, I'm here for Frank. And is he here? And I'm like, I don't think so. I'll let you know when he gets here. And she sits somewhere else.
Oh, no.
And they sit there not meeting for like 10 minutes.
Aww.
And finally Brittany gets up. She's like, I guess he's not coming. And I don't know. Okay, thank you. And like left. 5 minutes later, Frank comes up. He's like, did Brittany ever show? Did she call? And I was like, no, she didn't. And he left and I screwed up their destinies.
Oh no, they were soulmates.
I was mortified. I know.
You're reverse Cupid. You came between.
I was Kilpid.
You're Kilpid.
I was Kilpid.
Oh, you bumbled that one. That's for sure.
I bumbled it up. I was the drip that time.
You were bumble. You were fumble. You fumbled that one.
I thought you were going to say a swear. I was like, okay. Okay, Katie, you don't have to go there. But yeah, that was embarrassing because I just felt like, oh, what am I doing? Why?
Oh, that's
after
so, yeah.
Everything they went through to get there.
That one just makes your heart drop because you feel so bad. So they neither one of them ever contacted again or came in again?
No, but I still hold hope that like they met on the subway platform on the way
home.
If
they're meant to meet, they met. They found each other.
I like to think so.
Another time, another place.
I like to think so.
This next story comes from Emily in San Francisco, and she writes, my husband and I got married in 2015 in a beautiful, intimate ceremony that was like a fairy tale. Being surrounded by our friends and family in a stunning venue was such a dream. We couldn't wait to start our lives together. We booked our honeymoon for the following day in Tulum, Mexico, at a picturesque resort. We ended up arriving around 3 p.m., and we were elated to see that the resort was even more beautiful than the pictures. There were notes on the reservation that we were newlyweds, and the staff were also welcoming and kind. Our room wasn't quite ready yet, and they ended up upgrading us to a suite. We were thrilled, and when we arrived in the room, there were rose petals in a heart shape on the bed, as well as champagne on ice and chocolate-covered strawberries.
Oh, my God. Right? Romantic.
Man, I'm so romantic.
Yes. I would go right for those strawberries.
Yeah. We had not yet consummated the marriage, and they had set the scene for romance for us. Okay.
Sexy.
We quickly undressed and proceeded to have steamy and passionate newlywed sex. We were both about to climax when we were startled by a loud knock on the door. Housekeeping! We froze and looked at each other wide-eyed, like, what the hell? I mustered an out of breath, no, thank you. Again, a loud knock followed by housekeeping. My husband yelled this time, "We don't want any," and tried to persuade me to shift my focus back onto him. We were both sure she would go away. Didn't she know we were newlyweds? And besides, we had just checked in. The room didn't need cleaning. Unfortunately, we assumed wrong.
No.
And as my husband was mid-climax, I should mention we used the pull-out method. So he was climaxing all over me when the housekeeper busted into our room. The door was directly facing the bed, and she got a full view of both of us, but more so my husband, who was on top. I screamed, "Oh my God," and I tried to cover myself with the sheet. She screamed too, apologized, and closed the door. My husband and I were in total shock, and when we got over our initial embarrassment, we couldn't stop laughing and reenacting the situation and her horrified face.
That is crazy.
I'm pretty sure after that, she double-checked all of the rooms she entered were empty.
Yes. I mean, you'd think that she would have heard that, although as someone who's hard of hearing, I get that. Like, that would happen to me all the time. Because she just must not have heard.
They said they got upgraded, so maybe there was some confusion with that room. Like,
but I mean, that is so embarrassing. That probably happens to her all the time.
Oh my God. Gosh. I hope not.
I hope not. I know. But that's pretty funny.
Yeah. That's an awkward one.
Really awkward.
Walked in on during.
Well, but your husband's full just view. Like, also like, full just letting go
just
all over
let
your
let loose.
Beautiful.
All over.
Honeymoon belly.
All over.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's like a whole thing of just walking into people. Like, if you ever walked into your parents having sex.
No! Oh, you have?
No, I mean, maybe, but I'm not going to talk about it.
No.
But I mean, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's another category. Send us those stories. If you have done that or if you've been walked in on. I remember when my first boyfriend, actually, his dad kind of walked in on us, but we were able to like shift things around so nothing was seen.
You're like, we're studying for our math
contest. Nothing was seen, but yeah, like.
I almost said math contest.
We're studying. I was definitely not studying for math. I was not studying for math.
Me neither, obviously.
But yeah, if you have walk-in stories, we want to hear those for sure. That's always a fun topic.
So good. Okay. So, all right. This is from Eric in New York City. New York City. He writes, "My husband and I are both performers, and so we're away from each other a lot performing. They say that distance makes the heart grow fonder, and it had been a few weeks since I'd seen him. He was in a show in Seattle, and I flew there hardly able to contain how excited I was to see him. When I got there, our reunion was magical. We had a lovely afternoon having sex and snuggling, and then he went off to do his evening show. I got myself together and went off to see him perform. After the show, we were supposed to go perform a duet together at a friend's benefit, and I made sure I looked extra cute. I was in the lobby waiting for my husband after the show when I felt the urge to fart." As you do. "No big deal. I thought I'll just let it go here and walk away. The only problem was that when I let it go, poop came out."
Oh, no.
"I sharted," meaning I farted and shat myself.
The classic.
"Mortified, I ran to the bathroom and closed myself in the stall. I cleaned up as best I could and threw my underwear away. Walking back out to the lobby, I thought of the duet I'd have to sing next to my husband, Commando, with nothing but the music and the memory of what had happened and a little breeze across my bare bum and my pants. My husband and I laugh about it still, but man, was it embarrassing."
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
That is a rough one.
Yeah.
Also, was anybody around? Did anybody hear it? Did anyone smell it?
I mean, probably. But, and then obviously if you run away, people are like, oh, that was him.
Yeah. It was that guy.
But that's embarrassing.
Running away with a skid streak.
Wet. That was so cute. Like,
that's
the idea
adorable.
That they were like, oh, we got to do this even after what happened. Like, let's go sing harmonies.
It's like so wholesome.
And, I know.
Yep.
It's so cute. Oh my gosh.
Okay. I got another one for you. Okay, this next story comes from Stephanie in Vermont, and she writes, "My husband and I live in a small town in Vermont, and it gets very cold. On this particular day, there was an ice storm, and it was negative 27 degrees. What?
Okay.
I can't even wrap my head around
that. I just froze.
No, no, thank you.
Listening to that.
I couldn't. I don't know how. Negative 27?
Ice storm.
You're frozen. You're instantly frozen.
I think I would be frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. You are frozen. "I was 8 months pregnant with our first child and feeling totally stir crazy in the house. There isn't much to do in our small town, so we decided to get out of the house for one of our favorite activities, grabbing a coffee, driving around and singing together, taking in the beautiful scenery, and enjoying the storm from the safety and warmth of my husband's large truck." Oh my God, that's so
that's
cute.
That's really cute. Yeah.
It is cute. But also scary.
I know. You have to
I guess
like,
if
have
you're
a contraction.
Used to it and you live there, it's like you know how to maneuver on the roads and everything. But I would be so freaked out.
Me too.
I wanted to grab a snack, so we stopped by the local gas station and I went inside to look around for whatever craving I was having that day. As I mentioned, I was 8 months pregnant and my belly was huge. As I waddled out of the gas station back to meet my husband in the truck, I lost my footing on the ice and went down to my butt, then back. Baby was okay. It wasn't a hard fall, so don't worry about that. The fall itself would have been embarrassing enough. There were lots of people around. But before I could stop myself and get up, I realized I was sliding out of control down the small hill towards my husband's truck.
No!
I wasn't going fast, but there was also nothing to grab onto to stop myself. And I slowly slid under my husband's truck where my belly stopped me. And I realized I was stuck. So half of my body was sticking out of the truck. And I was just flailing about and calling for my husband to help me. And I started laughing so hard from the absurdity of it all and my helplessness that I started to pee and I couldn't stop.
Oh no, of course.
I was wearing a full snowsuit and I soaked myself. Can you imagine picturing this pregnant woman just sliding down this little icy
hill?
You're
like pumping gas and you see this pregnant lady like
sliding
on
their back, trying to like find some kind of footing, and like, you know, you're just sliding down your back. There's nothing you could do. And then your belly stops you under the truck.
Can you pee?
Oh my God.
Oh God, that's funny.
My husband rescued me immediately and had to pull me out by my armpits. Everyone in the parking lot cheered and were laughing along with me. It was completely humiliating, but I tried my best to take it in stride. Let me tell you though, peeling a piss-filled snowsuit off cold and Prego is some kind of shit.
Oh God. Poor lady.
That's so embarrassing.
Oh, it's so cute though.
It is. It's cute. It's like a cute, funny story.
It's a cute, embarrassing story.
Yeah. And like a cute little hometown where everybody's like cheering for you.
And you're in an ice storm. You're just looking around.
You're stuck under a truck.
Oh God. Snowsuits.
That's good.
That is good. I'm glad that ended well. I'm glad she wasn't like, labor.
I think that was our first pregnant story. And I have another one, but we need more pregnant stories. Tell us your pregnant,
tales. Story. Well, I do have a pregnant story, actually.
And you have one, too. Okay.
I'm going to tell you one. Well, no, let's tell it together. This happened to Katie and I because we were together, and it's an embarrassing story for me, but it basically shows you what an amazing friend Katie is.
Aw, you shouldn't have been embarrassed.
Amazing. So, what was it? Okay, let's start. Where do we start? So, you were doing a commercial for Toyota.
Yeah.
They had given you a big truck, a monster truck. It was so cool. Souped up. It had like everything, all the bells and whistles.
It was really cool.
And we were going to go. I was coming with you to shoot just like stuff for your reel and stuff.
Yes.
You know, and like just be a companion.
We went to Salton Sea, Boynton Beach, Joshua Tree, Palm Springs. We went everywhere in one day.
Oh, in one day. And it was so great. Now, let me just start by saying I was pregnant and really sick.
And she was the goat for going with me and should not have come.
No, I definitely wanted to get out of the house. I was so excited about it. And I was like, you know, this was my big day out in the world to remind myself that there was a world beyond barfing in the toilet. So I mean, a little backstory. I was throwing up everywhere. I threw up in my car and like projectile vomited on the windshield. And I looked over and I saw someone see me do that. And they were like, oh, God. I was like waving my hands, like throwing up. It's disgusting. I threw up at the Getty Museum. I threw up at the zoo. I threw up like a million times, just like driving places.
All over Los Angeles.
Everywhere. Yeah. So I thought this was going to be different. and I bought those bands that you told me to buy, those like
the C bands.
Yeah. And I was like, boom, got my bands. We're ready to go. So after an hour, I started telling you to pull over.
Yeah.
And you were so amazing at it. Like instantly. You were like a stunt driver. You literally caught across lanes and be like hockey stuff.
Which is probably why you got sick in the first place. I was probably driving erratically.
No, you weren't. You weren't. It was my like morning sickness that was getting it. So you'd pull over, I would fall out of the car and barf for like heaving barf
you
for a long time.
You were like, don't look at me. I was like, I'm not.
You're
but
like,
it's
I
okay.
can't see
it's
you.
Totally
it was a
fine.
Monster truck. I like fell out of the car.
It was huge. But also I was like, we're like on the side of the freeway. Are you okay? And get back in the car.
Yeah. And then that would just happen. But then there was this one time where I was like, you know, you were really good. As soon as like we'd be talking about something really deep, and then as soon as you saw me give, because there was no time. There was no.
It was instant. It's happening.
As soon as I felt nauseous, I had 1 second, and then it was just barf city. So I gave you the signal, which is just me putting it, like starting to put my hand in my mouth, and you swerved, but you didn't have enough time. And I threw up on the door of the car that you were making
Toyota.
A commercial with. I threw up all over it. And like was so mortified. We cleaned it up. We scrubbed it down.
You were so embarrassed and you felt so bad, but I did my best to make you not feel that way because I felt horrible that that was happening to you. But and you were such a trooper even coming with me.
Oh, I had the best time. Even that was fun. Katie, you take people on adventures and you still take me on them even after that happened. But I will never forget, by the end of that trip, I had just like a barf bag in the corner. I was throwing up every 5 minutes and I'd be like, turn up the radio. And you would be like, okay. And you'd be like singing along to the tunes while I like dry heaved into my barf bag.
Yeah, you did.
Good friends,
we
though.
We got you barf bags.
Best friends let you barf 50 times in front of them. They still take you on adventures.
And they don't care. You can barf all you want.
They don't
barf
care.
Barf it up.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you too. Yep. That was bad though. Really bad.
I felt so bad for you.
I got in the bath when I got home and I just didn't move for an hour.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Okay. This next story comes from Julianne from Soul Travel Prints and Design. She's actually an IG friend of mine. She's such a talented photographer and she's photographer. She takes dogs. She's a photographer. Okay. We're going to leave that because I get to make mistakes. She's a very talented photographer and I love her. Anyway, she actually had a two-parter for us. So here we go. And we get another pregnancy tale, which is so awesome. We had three pregnancy tales in this episode. So that's the theme. In the late 80s, I was 9 months pregnant and I had an almost 3-year-old daughter. Things have advanced a lot as far as maternity clothing, baby products, et cetera. They're advancing like every second, right? Like even since I had Sebastian to when you had Elliot, like there's a huge advancement in the products. It's wild. Anyway, there weren't as many options for everything back then, especially cute maternity clothes, comfortable underwear, bras, et cetera. I typically just bought larger sizes or wore what I already had until I couldn't wear it anymore. On this particular day, I was wearing a large and comfortable denim tent dress because I was already feeling like I was about to pop, and it was one of the only things that still fit me. I lived in Charleston at the time, and I had to go grocery shopping with my 2-year-old, so I headed to the local Winn-Dixie. I was feeling exhausted but getting through it and checked off all the items on my small list and headed to the checkout aisle. I only had a few things in my basket, and my daughter was standing beside me as I held the basket in one hand and I held her hand in the other. Suddenly, I felt the elastic snap in my underwear, and I got a sinking feeling as I felt my underwear sliding down my legs to the floor, powerless to stop it.
What does that mean?
As I felt the panties sliding down my legs, I whispered to my daughter, "Pick up mommy's panties and put them in my purse." I tried to casually step out of my underwear and shove them over to her with my foot inconspicuously. Bending down was not easy when I was 9 months pregnant.
No.
She first loudly asked, "Mommy, why are your panties on the floor?" My face turned bright red and I said to her quietly again, "Please pick them up quickly and put them in mommy's purse." Then my daughter proceeded to loudly exclaim, "Here they are, mommy. I got your panties." And she waved them excitedly all around her head.
Oh my God.
I grabbed them and shoved them into my purse. And the cashier, a woman, thank God, was laughing so hard she couldn't finish the transaction.
Oh my God. That is so funny.
Your underwear falls off in line.
Your little girl like makes it a flag. It's amazing.
Waving it around her head so excited. "I found them. Yay." You're like, "Give me those. Oh my God. Be quiet."
You know.
Yeah.
Kids have a way of just kind of like, oh, just, I mean.
They're going to embarrass you.
They're going to embarrass you.
I used to be, I think, a much more embarrassed person. I don't think I would have shared a lot of the stories that I shared on this podcast.
What?
Just because I was, you know, I still had pride, but then I had a child and that all went out the window. He has embarrassed me more times than I can count to a place where you're just like, okay. All right. It is what it is. I'm over it. Like, one that comes to mind.
Yes.
Real quick.
Tell me.
Which I thought of the other day and I laughed to myself so hard. We were going to the DIY hardware store.
Okay.
And I was in line checking out. Sebastian, he must have been like 2.5. He was still sitting in the shopping cart, you know?
Yep.
He ripped the biggest fart. It was so smelly. It smelled so bad. It was so loud. Everyone turned around and looked at us. The cashier was like holding his nose, disgusted. I was mortified, but I couldn't like get out of the line. I'd already like put stuff on the bill and I had to pay. And like stuff like that. Just constantly. Just the things that kids do that just like, you're like, okay. Like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, you are screaming in here, whatever, embarrassing me.
It's like before and after. So like before BC, before kids and after kids.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what you were, what everything you, the put together person, you know, that you used to be.
It's gone.
Gone. Because you have someone else. Yeah. Like,
you will be humiliated and you will learn to just shrug your shoulders and be like, move like, on.
This is the way it is. Oh, well. But that's what I love about it too, is that, you know, a lot of mothers give you a look like, I know.
Yeah, they do. So cool. They're like, it's fine. It's I understand. Yep. So she has another story that involves the same dress and the same daughter.
Amazing.
When I was 6 months pregnant, I looked full term at that point. So I was wearing that same dress. My daughter wanted to play in the balls at the first indoor play area at the local McDonald's. I was pregnant and tired with a 2-year-old, so I caved and we went. She insisted on wearing her favorite pink jelly shoes inside the ball pit. She inevitably lost a shoe and couldn't find it, so she yelled for my help. I crawled into the ball pen to look for my daughter's shoes. The ball pit opened to a wall of glass to the parking lot. I kept getting tangled up in the long dress, so I just hiked it up to my chest because I thought the balls were covering me. Oh, turns out, God, they weren't. I found the shoe and waved it over my head like an Olympic champion and turned around to see an entire construction crew coming into lunch.
Of course.
They were cheering me on as my half-naked body was pressed to the glass for them all to see.
Oh, God. Can
I
you imagine?
I turned bright red, pulling my dress down, and hurried my daughter out of the McDonald's.
Oh, you got to say, take off your shoes before you jump into those balls, my friend.
Yeah. Or no, you probably should keep them on. There's probably some fungus and bacteria in there. Who knows?
But I mean, your shoes are probably full of fungus and bacteria, too. You just rub that all over the balls. Seriously.
But that one, yeah. You thought you were like covered, and meanwhile, your whole ass is just out.
A fishbowl.
Just you are just ass in a fish out, bowl. Pregnant in the fishbowl.
Oh my God, that's so
in
funny.
In front of a whole construction
group.
That's
so funny. That is amazing.
It's so good.
Oh, I would just watch a show with these two just going around and like having adventures like that.
I bet there's so many more. We want to hear more. These are great, Julie. Thanks for sharing.
I know. Thank you so much. Well, my last one is actually a story. My friend Davina told me I could tell it. I don't have to change her name. It's a cutest story. It's a super short, like super sweet, embarrassing story. So she was in a department store. And did you ever like hide in the racks when you were a kid?
Of course.
Yeah, everyone does. I feel like every kid like goes and like pretends that they're in some spaceship or whatever. And her family actually left the store and like forgot her. Like,
are you serious?
That's what she said. She said that they left.
She was home alone
in the middle of a rack. And then
was she an only child?
No, there was like she had a big family.
Okay, I was going to say, because if it's an only child, that's really terrible.
You're like, it's like that's on
the
you,
mom
folks.
And dad just bounced. Yeah. They're like, I'm sure she's good. She probably ran along ahead.
She'll follow us. She'll find us. But yeah, so they realized that they had left her, but she was in there for a while, and they came back and they, you know, paged her. So over the intercom, as she's playing in the middle of this, you know, the turnstile or whatever.
She wasn't even aware they had left.
She didn't even know. They paged her, and over the intercom, it said, Davina, your party is waiting for you up front. She's like 6 years old. She was like, my party,
Yeah.
And she runs up to the front, and it's just her parents like waiting. We're like, oh, how could you do this? So I was like, where have you been? And then she just cried because she thought
she had a birthday party or like a big party.
The run from the rack to the front made her. Like in that run was like, I'm going to see all my friends and there's going to be confetti and a cake and they threw me a party. And then she said her family was just laughing at her when she got up there.
Womp, womp.
Right,
the way we hear things differently as kids, you know?
Yeah, totally. But it's so funny though to think like that means you're going to have a party.
Your party's up front. Your day has arrived. She's all excited. She's like, where's the cake?
Yeah.
Oh.
You get a haircut, parties up front. Wait a minute, no, that's parties in the back. What's the mullet?
Party in the back, party in business in the front,
up front party in the back. Never mind. I was
party in the front.
Some connection, but that just doesn't exist. Oh my gosh, yeah. So those are my stories.
I loved them. It was a good
time. Loved yours. Yes.
Good time had by all.
Episode 10, Katie.
We hope you enjoyed it. If you loved it, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us move up the charts.
And if you have a story about pregnancy, about what else did we want to hear about today?
Anything. You can tell us any embarrassing story.
Please write us. It can be anonymously or whatever at beatredpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And
if you can't beat them,
join them.
See you next time. Woo-hoo.